Welcome to Be All You Are, a midlife awakening podcast. I'm your host, Kaina Paranjape. I'm a former corporate executive, two-time entrepreneur, and mama. I've worked with and partnered with major brands and even helped a celebrity launch an award-winning business. But I also believe that who we are is not just reflected on our LinkedIn profile. When I was 30, my husband became suddenly critically ill. And after 8 years of living with a difficult illness, he passed away. This experience taught me that we need to claim our dreams now, embrace all we are, and create an amazing life along the way. Today, I help women like you navigate through change and transition to their next level of freedom and fulfillment, whatever that looks like for you. This podcast is all about stepping into all you are. It's about reconnecting to your inner voice so you can hear the whispers of your deepest dreams and cultivate the courage and a plan to create the life that is waiting for you. Now head out on that solo walk or settle into a cozy spot with a favorite beverage and join me. Well, hello, beautiful women. How are you? I'm so happy to be back here with you. I hope that you are having a beautiful summer and enjoying these long, gorgeous days. I know that I am. I am so excited to share this conversation with you today. It unfolded in a very unexpected way, and those are truly the best conversations. You know, some people, business owners, founders are excellent at preparing and planning and organizing. I would say that I definitely get by, but those are not my strong suits. And sometimes, of course, it really bites me in the ass. And other times, it allows things to unfold in a way that I never would have expected. And that's what happened on today's conversation. And I'm going to be introducing you to her in just a minute. But before I do, I wanted to share with you again a little bit more about the membership community Supernova that is just thriving right now. We are almost at 100 members, almost there. And we launched in November of last year. So this is a very new community, but the energy that this community holds is something really special. And what I wanted to offer you as a listener of this show is the chance to come in and join a session within Supernova to get a sense for the topics we cover, to get a sense for the women who are inside, to get a sense for the energy that you plug into as a member. And I want to give you the opportunity to experience that before you say yes. So what I am sharing with you today is a chance to connect with me, and let me invite you to an upcoming session. So I'm going to include my email address in the show notes below, but if you just send me a quick email and say I'm interested, I will respond to you with some upcoming sessions that I can then send you the Zoom link to join. That is my offer for you today. I feel so strongly that what is happening inside Supernova is meant to reach more women. There is this beautiful sense of possibility and expansiveness that comes when you are with other women who are saying yes to life in a new way, in a bigger way. And that's what we were doing. And we are just getting started. So come join us for a session. Now, for today's guest, Amanda Jeppesen is the founder of Sula. So Sula is a beautiful non-invasive spa based here in Toronto with a location as well in LA and with more to come. The founder of Sula, Amanda, is an incredible woman with an incredible story. She started Sula at the age of 40 with no prior professional experience in this area. I don't want to say too much more because I think this conversation with Amanda is so revealing and so insightful and inspiring and really shows what is possible when we tune in to our desires and take bold action. You will often hear me say that I have a bias towards action, meaning that it's not enough to know, it's not enough to uncover and discover and write in your journal. It's what do you do from there? And bold is relative, right? What feels bold to you one day may feel like nothing a year from now. But the energy behind taking bold action always creates a ripple effect. It always creates a response. And then you get to play. And what Amanda's story shows us is the power of that play. And she certainly did say yes to what was coming through to her. Now, one of the other parts of Amanda's story is that she was experiencing a lot of pain before this happened. And I think that's the story that many of us can relate to. Because we are so conditioned to hunker down and to just work our way through things and to struggle through things, we often aren't ready to make bold change until we feel that pain. And that is what Amanda's story also indicates. And, you know, as she'll share, and as I believe, we do not need to get to that point anymore. And if anything, this is a call for all of us as women to not wait until the pain is so great before we make the changes that we know we need to make. I'm so excited for you to get to know Amanda through this conversation. It was really beautiful. And let's dive in. Welcome, Amanda, to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I'm so glad to have you. And, you know, right before we hopped on to record, you and I were talking about how I discovered your story, and it was because we collaborated on a supernova gathering at Sula, which we're gonna tell you all about Sula in a minute. But that when you and I sat down together, I hadn't done a lot of research on your story. And it's actually strange because normally I would have, but I guess, you know, it was just timing and busyness and I hadn't. And I knew that connecting with you, there was going to be a great story in there. But when I actually heard it, I was like, whoa, we should have recorded this for the podcast. So let's like book another time to do that. So I'm so glad you're here. I'm so excited for everyone listening to hear your story and to connect with you in a deeper way. So let's start with Sula. Can you tell us what Sula is in your vision? What is Sula?
Of course. So Sula started as a lymphatic facial that I had in the UK I'd always loved everything skincare and beauty and wellness. But it gave me an immediate lift, and I felt really good. And I was like, this is not in Canada. This has to come to Canada. So basically what Sula is a clubhouse for everything lymphatic. So the lymphatic system is what detoxifies your entire body. But that piece of Sula kind of developed a little bit later on. There was a bit of an evolution of that, but it started, the original vision was the lymphatic facial where we have you look amazing and feel amazing. And then we develop further into the nervous system, the circulatory system, and everything beauty and longevity together.
Amazing. So we're going to dive into that a little bit more later so we can hear about like what some of those offers are and, you know, why someone would want to come to Sula. But what I would love now is to dive into your journey to get to this place, right? To this beautiful vision and beautiful creation. Because I remember thinking, you know, we make assumptions about people's stories. Like it's sort of like step one, step two, step three. And it's like you think that there's like this evolution. And when I heard your story, I was like, wow, it was like you skipped a whole bunch of steps and you did them in the different orders. And you just, the way it happened was just like so powerful. And also more so than just powerful, it was an example of what is possible, right? So I don't want to say anymore. I'm going to let you share the story.
Well, it's funny because when you ask me that question, like, what is Sula? It's so hard to answer because it is so much, but it started, you know, just with the facial, then really evolved. And through my journey of starting it, that's how we've gotten to this endpoint. And it's really funny. Never in my wildest dreams did I think that this is where I would land today or be speaking with you on a podcast. And you're catching me on a special high today because I just got back from New York for treating clients at the Met Gala. And, you know, watching, yeah, in New York City, going into the rooms, like, it's everything you can imagine outside the Mark Hotel and the Carlyle Hotel and going in and the paparazzi and the fans that have been there all night and then watching these people who I actually got to know a lot of them really well because what we do is so intimate and hearing their stories too are quite inspirational. But we'll circle back to this. But my biggest takeaway from where all the questions in this podcast is don't overthink things or you'll never, ever do it. So starting with my journey, my background is advertising marketing and I took off 12 years to raise my kids, which was amazing. But there was a piece of me through that really lost myself. From age 37 to 40, I was so low, so sad, so confused. Couldn't go back to advertising marketing. That is, everyone was 25 and I was in print and it's completely digital. So I knew that wasn't an option. But no clue what to do. Didn't have a lot of support from friends or family. In fact, I had the opposite. They really thought that I was going through a midlife crisis and, you know, this too shall pass. And everyone kind of just loosely entertained me and laughed it off. And one of my really great friends moved to the UK and she took me for, I was heartbroken. She was my confidant here. And I, in a dark place, like I'm talking dark as in like I was on antidepressants, like just really wasn't in a good place. Went to the UK. She took me for this treatment. And it's the first time I had the inside your mouth massage. So when releasing that tension, you get that immediate lift. Mm-hmm. But I felt different too. And I'll come back around to that piece. But that was that moment where I'm like, this is what I'm doing. I'm bringing this to Canada. Was I crazy? Probably. I wasn't an esthetician. I'd never own my own business, but I was going to do this. Got back to Canada, reached out to this woman on 4 different platforms. She never got back to me. Super deflated. My family doctor and I had this amazing relationship and he was just always real and honest. And his exact words, are we allowed to swear?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. His exact words, and it was so impactful. Why the fuck don't you do it on your own? And it was in that moment where I was like, aha, that was the second moment. The first moment, my sister, we were getting ready for a concert and my life was good. And that's what was so hard to understand why I was so unhappy. You know, I have great friends, great family, but I was sad. But she looked at me and as we're getting ready, we were talking about something and she's like, when are you going to make a change and stop complaining? And that was my other moment where I was just, oh my God, I have to do something. So when my doctor had said this, because I'm not a complainer, I am a happy person. And then I realized who I was being perceived as and that did not feel good.
Yeah.
Got on the computer right from that doctor's appointment, Googled, how do I learn this? Became clear that the sculptural face lifting guru was out of Russia and his next class was in Germany in 2 weeks. And I went, fuck it, booked it. Not the most fun conversation to have when someone comes home, but in hindsight, it was the best thing I did.
By the way, I went to Germany in 2 weeks.
Yeah. For 2 weeks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Bye.
So like in the height where they think I'm already having a midlife crisis, now I've elevated it. Right? But people just, when they don't understand, so many people live in fear. And that's, I think taking that fear element out and just doing it was the start. That moment was the start of where I am today. The Met Gala, all the things. Yeah. Went to Germany. Because if I didn't book it in that moment, it would have been wait till the kids are done school. It would have been that overthinking piece. And something would have happened. Summer would have come. We would have had plans, family vacation, whatever. Never would have done it. Went to Germany. Loved this course. Met incredible people that were on similar paths. Like, you know, doing something unique, doing something different, elevating their careers. And just fell in love with it more. Part two of the course was the emotional side, which didn't at that point mean anything to me. Mm-hmm. Come back to Canada. Kept the connection with all these people I met. Took my kids, traveled wherever I could go, where we could stay somewhere, would try these treatments. And then, because I knew I had to develop something very unique. It's such a saturated industry. And so, of course, my husband's like, this is your market research, traveling and trying treatments. I'm like, I'm in the driver's seat.
You gotta do, right? You just gotta get in there.
Completely. And to be fully honest, like, I had no idea what I was doing, like, just trying to figure it out. So I came back. Put all the pieces together, loved it. Now COVID's looming. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know what to do. Maybe I should do this in my basement. Maybe I should hold off. And I met this guy along my way through a friend, and he was my cheerleader that I needed. He was that one person that believed in me, and that's all you really need. And he's like, absolutely not. You're not doing this in your basement. He had a branding background. He believed in me. We would walk Yorkville, and then there was a space that came available, and he said, call right now. And I'm like, right now? Everything we did along this way was like in that moment. Like we literally did not.
Yes.
In the moment. Called, landlord came. Next day we signed the lease. And 2 days later, COVID came to Canada. And I have a business now where we put our hands inside your mouth and there's a global pandemic. The I told you so's were really real.
I'm sure.
Thankfully, we had an amazing landlord who was really easy with us on the rent. But that feeling at home where everyone's like, you're an idiot, like told you, caused me to drive to work every day. Mm-hmm. And when I drove to work, one day I saw a movie being filmed. And I was like, what the hell? You can't fly. You can't go to restaurants. You're not even supposed to leave your house. And this movie. So turns out models and actors didn't have to wear masks. So I'm like, this is where my marketing came in a little bit. I'm like, what defines a model? So I would go home at night and I would DM all the, and I live 30 minutes outside of the city. So I didn't even know the who's who of Toronto, but through social media, you can find out. Mm-hmm. And I just started DMing. Instagram, funnily enough, cut you off after 200 DMs, but it kind of explained what we were doing and said, if you come in for a facial, I can't charge you, but if you can post, you can have a facial.
Yeah.
So perfect storm. People started to come in and then they wanted to bring their friends. And we were like this like underground bootleg little beauty shop. And with all the social media traction. So through that period, we were open and closed. Fast forward to September, sitting in the studio, and I get a phone call, and it's the global marketing director of the Shangri-La Hotel out of New York City. She's coming for the film festival, and she's like, I love everything beauty. I'm in Toronto every other month, and I've never heard of you guys, but you're all over my For You page. So all that posting that happened, and this is all free. Like, I had no clue what to do. Like, I had no budget to work with. We had no clients come in. Didn't even know when we were going to open.
Yeah.
And so she came in. She loved it. And then she gave us the opportunity to put gifting boxes into all the celebrities' rooms. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, the celebrities came, left their phone number, said there's nothing like this in LA. If you come to LA, call us. So one of my girlfriends was going to LA and she said, you have this insane Rolodex, get a hotel room, do a pop-up. If they come, great. If they don't, we have a great trip. So I did. And they came and they invited me to their homes and they have glam rooms and they invited more of their friends. And that's how we got the traction there. And we kept going back 2.5 years. And then we finally opened our full-time commercial space in LA just 2 months ago. And here we are in our flagship in Toronto.
It is such a crazy, I mean, I've heard it once, Amanda, and I'm just equally blown away. Although this time I feel like there's so many things that I want to pull at. Pull at meaning like I don't want to gloss over because they're I think, you know, it's so easy to hear a story like that and just be like, oh, well, then she did this and then she did this. But for me, like what it took, like, you know, there's so many of us who are afraid to move. We've got this idea. We've got this dream. We've got this like vision. But it feels like the distance between where we are and achieving that vision has like a gazillion hurdles and millions of years and, you know, thousands of steps. And we just feel like it's so far off. And I feel like what your story tells us is that there are some key things that you did, right, that allowed for that momentum and allowed for that adventure. And a huge part of it was at the beginning when you said yes to it. So I want to like go a little bit deeper there because, you know, you so beautifully share the story about how you were in probably one of the darkest times in your own life, right? Like everything was as it should be, right? Like according to family, you had all those things, but you felt like maybe a lack of purpose or a sense of meaning is what I'm getting from your story. And you found yourself stuck in that for a little while, right? Like you were kind of like in it. Mm-hmm. And then things kind of started to hit for you. But how did you go from okay, this was an amazing experience. Okay, then you made that move, right? Like you decided to like book the trip or whatever. But in the meantime, your family hasn't necessarily caught up with you, right? They're probably still like, what the hell is she doing? Like, yeah. Right? Like, how did you move through that? Because I find like that is one of the reasons why a lot of people don't hit mm-hmm. go, right? Mm-hmm. How is moving through that for you?
So I definitely gave you a snapshot of the full story in a very happy sense, yes. But there were moments, and there's still moments,
yes,
that are so hard. I say often that I'm definitely living the most stressful part of my life right now, but having the best time doing it.
Yeah.
It's creating those people. But going back to that first step, it when I look back, talk about like fear. If I had overthought or knew what laid ahead, opening a business internationally, opening in LA, California, that is the most highly regulated state. I had no idea. But you have to just start. If I had thought about it and looked at this whole plan and someone had said, this is what your path is going to look like to open in LA, I would have been like, I don't think I can do this. Yeah. But once you start day by day, it's like how to eat an elephant, like one piece at a time. Mm-hmm. You just start going. But if you don't just start, it's never going to happen. If I had seen that path of what it looks like. And it's really removing the people, blocking out the people that tell you it's impossible, because that's pretty 95% of the people, whether they just are scared themselves, they've never done it. I learned very quickly to only take advice from people who have been in the ring, who have been beat up in the ring, and we've been beat up in the ring. We've made tons of errors with it. Looking back on my whole thing, would I do it differently? Of course, but I had no idea. And I would love to share with people who are looking into doing this, my takeaways, but I would never tell them to do a full blown, like overthink everything, because that's paralyzing. You can't do it. And then the other piece that's really hard is in that life that, you know, you re-described to me, it was, I could travel. I had great friends, but they weren't seeing me for how sad and lonely I really was. And it's when I met Geronimo, having that one believer, like I won't lie, it's impossible to do it on your, not impossible, but it's really hard to do on your own.
Yeah,
one person who just sees you, encourages you. And then you step by step, how quickly it happens. Is that consistency? Yeah. It just,
yes. Yeah.
It goes. But you do have to be prepared. Like there are moments where all the time, like I can see why people can't do this because it's so hard, but your vibe attracts your tribe. And if you don't give up, you start to build your tribe. And I have my tribe now. Yes. And it's so, it makes everything possible.
Yes. I love what you're saying, cause it's so true. It's like, you can't see the momentum. So it's like a weird chicken and egg scenario, right? Because you can't, unless you are willing to take action, even without the support of your closest people at that time, because they know you as you. And like you said, they haven't done the thing or been in the ring. But you have to be willing to take action in spite of that, because it's only through the action that you gain the momentum and you learn something, but also then you draw in the people who are going to support you and who are going to be like, this is amazing. Let's go. Right. But it all starts with you taking that action.
That's one thing I promise. When you, as hard as it is to close doors, so many open, and you really have to trust in yourself, and it does work. And then, but also keeping in mind, if you have an idea of where you're going, be prepared to pivot 5,000 times in that and know that that's okay. And don't look at that as failure, because I was in thinking I was just only going to do facials. We have a clubhouse now that has 5 proprietary offerings and a recovery room. And we offer exercise, because just be open to everything that can come. And the other thing that it was really, I think, helped me a lot was I knew what I didn't know. So anybody who went out of their way to set up a meeting for me or offer me advice, I'm not suggesting take all the advice, take the meetings and take what's right. Even as tired as I was or how it didn't seem like it aligned at all, I would still show up because someone was trying, someone was offering something. And those were the meetings where it might not have been that person, but all the doors that they opened, people want to help you. They really do.
Yeah. Well, I love what you're sharing, because it sort of goes to this notion of like co-creating with the universe, right? Like it's sort of like you're responding and you're learning and then you're, you know, creating from that place. So it's not just like have a plan and execute it to a T. It's like learning, responding, you know, somebody comes in and you have a conversation and it piques something for you. And then you move from there, right? It's like really a co-creation process.
Yeah. It's a snowball effect for sure. And pride and ego have to majorly take a backseat because nobody feels that or sees that except for yourself. And that is debilitating. Yes. And it can hold you back from so much stuff. Like I think I shared this story with you, but it's one of my favorites. And it's still so wild to me even when I tell it. I had, once we opened in LA, met a lot of amazing people. I had met this one celebrity who introduced me to his best friend. And she has a company that does events. And she invited me to go to Coachella and do this incredible event at a boutique hotel, offer our services as well as our workouts. And I was so excited for this opportunity. And I screwed up the flight. So I was leaving from Toronto and I was flying to LA. I booked it wrong by an entire month, got to the airport with all of my stuff. I was so upset with myself and called her right away, explained what happened. She's like, you know, don't worry. She was very kind about it. I'm going to get on the next flight. But I had missed that whole day. I've now landed in LA. It's Coachella Music Festival weekend. It takes me 6 hours. That would have been a 2-hour drive. I arrived there at 10 o'clock at night and there's this beautiful harvest table and everyone's sitting there. And I was so embarrassed. I was so mad at myself. I just wanted to go to bed. I was there for work. And I'm like, when you feel uncomfortable, you have to do the opposite, like what you don't want to do. Yeah. So I didn't want to go there. I was embarrassed, pride, ego, but I'm like, nope, I've got to go. I walked up to that table. And I can see that there's no space. And she right away, she's like, oh, join us. And I'm like, oh, it's okay. Like, I'm going to go back to my room. She's like, no, pull up a chair. No space to pull up a chair. I just want to crawl under a rock. And she looks at the table and she's like, you know what? We can't really talk to these people. We'll move to this table over here. So myself, her girlfriend, her two friends and her, four of us sat at this table and we're in conversation. They were so warm and welcoming. And halfway through, I realized it's Scout Willis, Demi Moore's daughter and Bruce Willis's daughter. Like, holy shit, I nearly just went to bed. And like, these people were so warm and so welcoming. The next day, she shared something with me that I hold on to so true. And we always go to what's the worst case scenario. And we look at it from that point. We can talk ourselves out of a lot of things because of it. But she says, what's the best case scenario? And only look at it that way. So I did not look at it at that when I went to the table. But so now I'm there. She shares this with me the next day. We build this beautiful relationship. I treated her again when I went back. We even had lunch by a pool one day. And then I'm in Toronto Film Festival again. And I see Demi Moore's in town. I'm like, huh, I know her daughter. What's the best that can happen? So I text Scout and I say like, hey, I see your mom's in Toronto. Do you think that she would like a facial? She's like, oh my God, I'm on tour in Europe. Can I just connect you? Because she would love a facial. So then she connects with Demi Moore and her. And she's like, hey, Mama Demi, this is Amanda. She has these great facials. Like, do you want to have one? Demi's like, I would love to. Can you come to my hotel? But can you imagine if I had not missed that flight and still showed up and still, you know, went
on? Oh my God, yes.
And now she's a client. And I know these are like, they sound like extreme cases, but it's not. Like, you have no idea what can happen.
Yes. It gives me goosebumps. It's so good, Amanda.
It's still so surreal to me, but it's people want to help and it's.
Yeah. Well, especially when you rewind to you pre your family doctor, who I absolutely adore. Like, I adore him for saying those words to you. Right.
Right.
But like when you imagine yourself pre there and now like treating Demi Moore, like it's just, it's like, wow, you know? One other thing I want to pull at in your story and that whole evolution is you sending 200 DMs on Instagram. Because, you know, you think that like it's nothing, but it is. I know from working with a lot of women entrepreneurs or women who are just starting out and for being an entrepreneur myself, it takes a lot of grit and commitment to do that. So I want to know, where did that come from? Like, where did that sense of like, I'm not going to stop? And like, Was it, did you get cut off in one day? How did, like, what?
Yeah, all 200, you get cut off.
200 in a day.
I think, what do they call that? You're like soliciting, I guess.
Yeah, spamming and yeah. But it's so crazy that you, okay, so I want to hear about that part of it.
So I just drafted it. Again, it sounds like it's a hard thing to do, but it's a little bit creepy because you know, go onto these public, you see who, you look at different events or galas, and then people tag people. So then you see that, and then you click on them. But when you click on them, I would just send this pre-drafted, and I would just change the names, and then just keep sending. And then it's funny, people would reply, people wouldn't reply, but Instagram shows read or unread. You can see if they've read them. Yeah. So a lot of people were amazing. They came in. But what was funny is once we started to get all this traction and we got involved with the film festival and we started having these celebrities through, all of a sudden the people who never replied to me, I'm like, oh my God, I didn't see this. I'm offering free facials
now.
Yeah, and all of a sudden 2 years later, they're like, oh my God, amazing. I'm so sorry. This, I got lost. I'm like, seen. And they show us the date it was seen. But kill them with kindness. Like, amazing. We'd love to have you in.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh.
But it was just an easy, I'd go home, because trust me, I was stressed. I had everyone telling me I was about to be a failure. Like, when everyone told me this is crazy, everyone doubted. And it wasn't too long ago that my brother said to me, he's like, you know, I have to tell you, like, we all thought you were legit crazy. And I can't believe that you've done it. And sorry, we're really sorry.
We apologize.
Yeah.
I think it just also shows that, and I think you, like, maybe in this case, the fear was a little bit of a driver, which is good, right?
Yeah.
But I think we're almost at a stage where a lot of us want it to feel easy, meaning like, oh, I sent 5 DMs and I didn't get one back. So therefore, nobody cares, right? Or it just stopped working. Mm-hmm. I just really think that that's important, Amanda, as a part of the story, is to like really emphasize that you sent 200 in one day, right? That's true. It's so important because I think that people sell themselves short and they're afraid to get the rejection or they're afraid to get failure. So they almost like don't put themselves out there as a way to protect from, well, at least I didn't try too hard. At least I didn't, you know, but that's what it takes. It takes like being a little bit crazy.
You have to, definitely a little bit crazy for sure. I have a quote that I want to share with you that is so good that someone posted, but rejection, you nailed it. I think everyone in some capacity has that fear of rejection somehow. We were at an event in LA with my team. We popped up at a Pilates studio and we were giving little demos and we were handing out flyers, and I had the team, and I saw that my team started to pull back and had that, and it was LA, it's Pilates, and these girls are so beautiful, and they were rejecting some of the flyers, and so they were getting scared. I'm like, guys, who cares? So they don't want to come, like, they're going to get jowls over time. That's what we're going to think about it. Like, don't take things personally, because it's not, like, they're not looking at you, like, as, it's, if they don't respond, or they don't say yes, or they, but right away, you nailed it with the rejection. And nobody sees it like that. Just, you got to let go of the rejection.
Huge. It's huge.
Huge. But you will eventually, and just with a smile, like, okay, have a great day.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever, but just keep not, going.
Not feel like you are somehow responsible for their response or reaction.
Never.
Right? Yeah. That's huge.
Exactly.
So Amanda, this journey all started when you were 37? Like, or 40? Mm-hmm. Was it 37?
37 is when I really knew that I was not in a good place, that I was really unhappy and really sad in the mom guilt, and sad for feeling sad. And, you know, in Tops, I think people can probably relate to this. My husband did not, he didn't support it. He came from a stay-at-home mom. And I think from his standpoint, and this held me back, probably if I had his support, I would have started a lot earlier. But in his mind, you have this great stay-at-home mom life. How is this not enough for you? So his ego is super hurt as well. And that can be really polarizing and keep you not moving.
Yeah.
And then everyone's life, this is definitely one of the harder parts, is when you go back, especially if you're a stay-at-home mom or a part-time worker, everyone's life changes. I was that like quintessential, like dinner was ready, house was clean, and I basically abandoned and went full force. And I still have kickback from it for sure. I think sometimes my kids, my younger two are 15 and 17. Mm-hmm. And I think that they probably have a bit of resentment, but then on the flip side, and I hope that when they're older, they'll really be inspired to live their fullest dream and not to settle. I think there's definitely moments where you're gone again, or, oh, you're working with this person, or you're the excitement of work they feel shadowed by. And that's part of the being a woman in business.
Yes.
Where sometimes we just can't be so proud because we're shadowing other, whether it's other women who aren't doing the same thing, or it's your husband, or
yes,
your kids are feeling neglected.
Yes. And, you know, I think I've been having so many conversations with women, especially who have, because my daughter's only 8, so it's a little bit different, but who have teenagers. And I think, you know, teenagers, their needs are in some ways maybe even greater, even though they may act like they aren't, right? Mm-hmm. Some of them it's even greater. But when I think, Amanda, of your story, I think you are so right that when they're older, because this is also just a challenging time for, mm-hmm. in terms of your growing up journey. But when they're older and they think about what you did, they are going to be like, wow, mom mm-hmm. is epic. Like, wow, that she did that. She showed me what it means to go after my dreams, yeah. Right? Like, they will not look back and say, oh, she was busy doing this. Like, you know, I mean, I think that modeling it for them is the most important thing you can do. And I agree, like, it's difficult because we come from, you know, like a generation of mothers before us who were a lot at home, you know, and mm-hmm. who were there and played that role. And the roles have shifted. And I think that's good for our daughters, right? Like, we don't want mm-hmm. daughters to feel like they need to fit in, slot into this role. And it's too bad if it doesn't feel good. It's too bad if something is missing, right? Yeah. And you really are showing them that. So, I mean,
thank you.
I think it's incredible.
Big picture, I totally agree. But I just want people to know that for sure, yeah. there's some hardships totally. along that way where they,
yeah.
But ultimately, if you didn't, then I keep in mind that then I would be a quitter too to them,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, totally. And also, if you had this lack of fulfillment, what, like, how do you mother them? Like, you may be present, but would you be as alive? Would you be lit up? Would you be as excited? Right? Like,
and I even argue that you're not as present because every day is Groundhog Day. Like, you know, yep. I probably didn't have the same conversations. I didn't, you know, I'm doing the laundry. I'm doing the grocery shop. You're just floating around doing things. But now when my time is more sacred and there's not a yes. lot of it, I'm definitely way more involved and want yes. to know.
Yes.
Probably too much because now they're busy, but.
Yeah. Totally. Totally. Okay. So do you mind sharing how old you are now, Amanda?
I'm 46.
Okay. 46. So how are you experiencing midlife? Because, you know, this podcast is called a Midlife Awakening Podcast. It's funny because you know, we talk about it kind of happening around the age of 37, 38, where it really does start, you start to feel this shift for a lot of minutes around then, sometimes it's later. But now you're in your mid 40s. How has this journey been for you?
Well, as you know, from when that started, and that's entirely when it started for me, definitely a hormone shift, I think, is a big play of this. And I think leading up to age 40, you realize that this is the second half of your life. Like, this is it, mm-hmm. No matter what age your kids are. And even if you don't realize that, I think a lot of people feel it. It's interesting for me because now I work with so many young people. It's like all my technicians are like either in their 20s or 30s. A lot of my clients are younger, like in LA. So I feel really young, but I think I'm just really adopting that. Healthy lifestyle has really helped it, like eating well and being on the exercise to have that energy. I noticed that really gives me the energy to go on it. And there's so many things out there. Like, I've done all the hormone testing, the gut testing to make sure everything's balanced in my body. And I feel amazing. Like, I have all the energy, definitely have some hot flashes that really suck, but I try really not to think about the age now. I think that I'm in a good place because I made that shift and have created some purpose in my life. And that's staying involved, staying with the community, and really, really giving up what people think of you.
Yeah.
I don't care anymore. I really, really cared before. Shocking enough, like you'll always have haters out there. So sometimes I make posts and people question them or like, but just not caring, just whatever feels good, knowing that you're living good by your standards and your family and just not caring.
Yeah. Yeah. That's huge. It's so huge. Do you have, I mean, we're going to dive deeper into like the treatments and what you offer as doula, but do you have any sort of like personal lifestyle tips that have been supporting you recently that you're like, ooh, I like these are good secrets to share with other women?
I highly, like I touched on, I did the full body testing.
Yes.
It's so crazy. What I have my whole life suffered from heartburn and indigestion. My dad, my brother, my uncle, Western medicine, like, you know, I had a colonoscopy, endoscopy, food sensitivity testing. Everything's fine. You just have heartburn. It's just how your body is. Continue to take Tums. When I went to, and I don't even like to call it alternative medicine, just the other options. I had a full, like a lot more comprehensive blood work, the gut test and the hormone test. And right away, my NP said, you can't eat gluten. I'm like, impossible. I have all the sensitivity. I've had celiac. Just try it. Tried it. No heartburn. I recommend figuring out what your hormone levels are, balancing those out. Improves your energy, improves the, I'm speaking for women like around my age and weight loss, even hair, sexual drive, all of those things. It's all hormone related and gut related. And I went in thinking I felt pretty good, especially with my gut testing. I literally feel like I'm 20 years old and I'm happy to share the two people that I use that are incredible. Okay. The unfortunate part, it's a little bit costly. It probably costs $2,000 to $3,000 to do the whole thing. But when you think that in terms of preventative medicine, it's so comprehensive that they outline everything they balance everything and then tell you what these markers mean, like what direction you could be going in.
Yes.
And I rarely get sick. My mental health is really good. And that would be my definite lifestyle. I even just did it for my 17-year-old daughter because this is how firmly I believe in. Wow. It's getting ahead of everything that's coming.
Yes, yes, yes.
And a little trick.
Yes.
The blood work. Your family doctor can order it for you. You have to put up a little bit of a fight with it, but they can do it and that is free. But you just have to get the list of tests from the NP.
Okay. That's a very good tip. Amazing. Okay. So clearly, you know, your journey has been a journey kind of coming back home to yourself, right? Like there's this, you know, you're living a good life, but you sort of feel like you have a mask on, right? And you're moving through your life. And from the moment you decided to choose yourself and start choosing yourself and taking action from that place, I'm definitely saying this from an observation standpoint, but like from hearing how your voice comes through now, it's so clear. It's so grounded. It's like you are in your power, you know? And, and I feel like you are strongly connected to that inner voice. So you can move from that place now, right? So does that feel like something you have to, you know, take space for? Like you have some kind of, whether it's journaling or meditation, or was there something that allowed you to move into that space? Yeah, you're nodding, so I'm gonna let you.
Well, there's a few things. Okay. Fake it till you make it, for sure. Imposter syndrome is real. But what I've learned is a lot of people just have no idea what they're doing and moving through and just figuring it out along the way. I can't stress enough, don't overthink. Starting the business when I had one of my first meetings with the marketing company that I'd hired to help me. It was COVID, so it was going to be virtual. And I'm feeling like a badass. I've got my computer. I've got my coffee. I've got my notebook. This meeting's at 9 a.m. I am like winning a business. I am doing this. I mean, it's COVID, but I am. And these people were never late. They had been in meetings before. Sitting there, 901, 902, 903. Finally, my phone rings at 904. I'm like, good morning. Hi, how's everybody? And they're like, are you going to join the call? I didn't know I had no idea what Zoom was. We were doing like this. This is how green I was. Like, I really knew nothing.
You were just sitting there and they were waiting for you.
So rather than like, yeah, in that moment, I'm like, well, I got a funny story for you. I have been ready, but no idea. They laughed. And it's just being able to laugh at yourself. And I think like, yes, you can journal all you want, but share. Like, it's that village mentality. It's that community. People want to help you. Let them know that you have no idea what you're doing and that it helps. Even we're doing an investor raise, a fundraise right now. And there are some times where they'll come at us with all these questions. I'm like, you know, I am learning this as I go and I'm processing everything. I am open to advice. I am open to, and it's incredible. Like, I feel like I've just gotten a master's degree in this finance piece because people want to share. And again, take what you will, but don't keep it in. Keep it up. Laugh at yourself. Have fun with it. Like, I've made so many huge mistakes and it's just like, well, here I go again.
Yeah.
A really, really big thing, sauna cold plunge, which is one of our offerings here. I was introduced to that, I guess, 9 years ago now. I've been doing it for what, I don't know if how familiar people are with it, but it basically resets your stress receptors. It rewires your brain. So we live in a world, nobody likes cold plunge. Everybody be like, oh, I hate the cold. Everybody hates the cold. And then the sauna, you have to stay there longer than 22 minutes to really kick into that rewiring. So what happens is your brain, when you're in the hot or in the cold, want to say like, this is very uncomfortable. Let's get out of here. I don't like this. But that's where you have to stay. And truly where the magic happens. We live in a world where, I'm not saying it's not stressful. It's very stressful, but it's, we have a lot of ease. We have Uber, we have Uber Eats, we have public transportation, we have air conditioning, we have heat. So we're triggered so quickly if someone cuts us off in traffic and all of a sudden like can become so angry. Like,
yes.
And really, but that's because our stress levels are so, our base layer, level is so high that we're just triggered. So teaching your body and your brain in the sauna or the cold plunge, when you break past that, it's essentially resetting the stress receptors to much lower. So anybody who's done it, it feels very euphoric after because it's the dopamine being released and bombs could be going. You're like, oh, that's nice. But it's leveling that out. So that has been huge for me on days. Like, I have such a love-hate relationship with the cold plunge. Sometimes I'm breathing through it. Other times I'm cursing and like just like letting it all out. But it is a great place to let it out. And the nervous system is what holds our memories, our traumas, our emotions. So letting that go. If you see an animal in the wild and it's being chased, when it gets to safety, it shakes and it trembles. Yeah. And that's it, letting go of the nervous system. So one of the powers of the cold plunge, when you come out and you shiver and you shake, that's it, letting go rather than storing it up and keeping us in that fight or flight. It allows you to go into rest and digest. So that's been huge for me.
I love that. I love that there is, you know, because I think we are so mind focused that we feel like we need to do all the work in our minds. But when our mind is overwhelmed, it's hard to work with anything up there, right? Mm-hmm. So I love that this is like a full body kind of nervous system reset. That's super powerful.
There's one thing I want to touch on that when I was at this retreat this past weekend or two weekends ago that was really an interesting topic is that, you know, these stories and my story are obviously, I want to share that everybody can do it if you're feeling that that's what your calling is and that's what you need to do. But one thing that came to light, which is interesting, I don't want people to feel this. There is so much on social media and in everywhere that we see that you have to be doing something so big or you have to be like your purpose or your intention in life may be a lot smaller and that may be really perfect. But I can see in a world where we're so influenced by all of these posts and all of these do better and be consistent and wake up at the 5 a.m. is now 4 a.m. and like the all of these things, it's not for everyone. Your purpose might be, and that can be, I think, paralyzing as well. And just
it's like feeling this pressure that it has to be this big thing or it has to be like this bold move. And I think it's more about that coming back to listening to yourself. Right. And I think, you know, you were being called, Amanda, to do something bold. Like that was what your inner voice was guiding you towards. That's what your soul was asking of you in a way. But that's not what, you know, necessarily everybody's path. So it's not about, I think the lesson here is less like, you know, do what Amanda did. It's more about listen to that inner voice. And it could be something, you know, completely different. And it could be just a way of showing up in your life. It could be, there's so many things, right? That, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, completely. Just getting, I think the contribution is a really big part that people are missing in our lives right now. So whether it's just volunteering somewhere and giving back, I think is a huge, huge piece to really, and that scientifically makes you a happier person and reduces stress in your body.
Totally. Serving and creating value and connecting with people in a real way. Those are all so powerful.
It was interesting also at the retreat is that it's service, giving back with purpose. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter at what level you're doing it. Like the people that were working at these villas were so happy in the service that they were giving, and they were just genuinely happy people. Yes. But it doesn't have to be, it's just loving that moment of what you're doing and taking the pressure off of all of these other big things. And if your dream is big, you have to go get it.
Yeah.
But if it's, it starts small.
Yes, totally. I love
the other
that.
Thing that I saw that I live by is that awareness, analysis, action, where we're aware of how we're feeling, again, big or small, but you want, for me, I needed to not be a stay-at-home mom anymore. I just needed a job. No idea to what capacity at that moment. Thought about it, but that's when I started, when my sister called me out on it. I had been thinking about it back and forth. I was aware, I analyze it aware, but not many people move into the action and make that change.
Yeah, yeah.
So being aware of that.
Oh my gosh, I feel like that is one of the things that I really lean into taking action. And I think it's because action, in a way for me, action is like a cold plunge. I know it might not be the same thing from a nervous system standpoint, but from a place of like shaking yourself out of like the stagnancy, like for me, taking action, like I'm always saying, whenever we're on a call with Supernova or with a client, I'm always like, okay, what's the next step? Like, where are we going from here? Like, it's not just leave it there. Like, what's the thing that we're going to do coming out of this? Even if it's something for ourselves, it doesn't have to be external, but movement, right? Like, it's huge. Yeah.
It's totally huge. Yeah. The other thing is, and this is kind of going into a strange direction, but
go, let's go.
It feels like a safe space. Is when you talk, when we spoke about rejection and fear, part of the story that I don't often talk about is it's really important, that purpose community. Looking back at my childhood, and sorry if this sounds a little all over the map because I don't talk about this piece often, is I did not have a good childhood. And I definitely felt very rejected by my parents. I was molested by my stepfather. And when I came out, they didn't believe me. And I thought that that would be a whole bunch of things happened and whatever. But I thought that that would be a dirty little secret I would take to my grave with me. And I think through this process of going as big and as fast as I did, a lot of that comes back up. So I think that you really need to be prepared to deal with these emotions. And one of the lessons is because I started to deal with them, it empowered me and to understand what that rejection and abandonment felt like. So anybody, and honestly, when I do talk privately with people about these things or in small groups, so many people have been through horrible traumatic childhood things. I encourage you to deal with them because that's probably what's holding you back as well. Like being able to, I can freely talk about this and it's not, of course it's emotional, but yes. I literally thought I would never, ever speak about it. And I do now because I think it's so powerful and I do think it's a key piece that people don't speak about. Mm-hmm. And amazing therapist, but it will catch up with you. And I think that it was catching up with me when I was 37 to 40, that I had this, I missed that piece of the childhood and I didn't have the support or the encouragement. And then I got to a breaking point. And it will, you have that inner child in you and something will happen. And for me, I had taken my mom to New York for her 60th birthday. So this is like 12 years ago now. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, she didn't like any of my choices. She didn't like the hotel. She didn't like the restaurant. She didn't like. And so that little child, I had an amazing therapist at the time. Mm-hmm. Something will trigger it and it'll open and all of these emotions will come out. Mm-hmm. And luckily for me, I had a great friend that I was able to speak to. But now when I look back and I say I've done the work, like I've really, there's always work to continue to do, but I understand so much more of myself. And it's so freeing and liberating to be able to deal with that. And I just encourage everybody. And I just really want to share that you, people who go through things, they're not alone. And as big or small, those childhood things, really deal with them, because I think that'll really help you get over to your next piece and your next chapter, especially over 40 in the second half, no matter what you do, how good it can be.
I mean, thank you so much for sharing that. I'm really, really glad that you felt called to and that you did. I mean, it's a, like,
I never speak about this, like on a podcast like this.
I mean, I'm honored that you did, but also it's such a gift to anyone who's listening to this. And it's funny because I actually, you know, in my work and in even within the community that I host, women have reached out to me separately to share stories like that. Mm-hmm. And they feel so alone in the sharing of that story. And then as another woman will reach out and share it. And I'm like, can I introduce you to so that you can at least feel mm-hmm. like you're not alone, that you can, like, you know, talk with one another. And for you to like take a moment at, like on this podcast to bring that up and to bring it into like the arc of your journey, right? Because it's not just about 37 and now, it's like began so much sooner, earlier than that, you know, is so generous, like so generous of you. And I really want to thank you. I'm getting all hot and emotional.
No, I got chills when you said that. It's just upon reflection, just of the journey, is like, that was a big part, is I have a great therapist now too. And I think people have to normalize therapy, in that we all have these things, but we, again, can't do this alone. We need each other. And once I opened up about my story, the amount of love and support was amazing.
Yes.
But I think that is one thing that holds people back.
Yes.
Or looking where your fear comes from.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much. Okay. So I want to make sure that we have a moment to shine the spotlight on Sula. We've kind of talked about it a little bit leading up, but I want to hear about what you're excited about, what's coming up, like what you would want people to know about Sula and what's happening.
Yeah. So it's funny enough, going back to how it all started, the very first location on Davenport that was only 650 square feet, it was open concept. So if anybody's been there, it was just chairs. It was hard because the idea of the concept, I wanted this beauty parlor barbershop where people could come and be. And it's so funny because we do have an open part now, but we do have rooms because we have to attract for everybody. But without even realizing it, that just showed how lonely I was and that community I was craving so badly. So I, without knowing, created this space. And then, like I had said, the part two of this course was the emotional side of it. Mm-hmm. When I say I felt good after I had this treatment, it's now knowing what I know is we had tapped into that nervous system. So from that first face treatment, I realized very quickly that really wanted to go into the body treatment. And then we reset that nervous system, with how I told you with the sauna and cold plunge. It's a chemical reaction. You can really only get that through touch or through shock protein therapy that we were speaking about, develop the body treatment. So people were starting to have these crazy emotional releases. Sorry, I left that out. And that's why we went into the body treatment, because the issues are in the tissues, they say. Mm-hmm. So from that, we have the body treatment. We have a stretch treatment. It's really realigning the body. And most recently, we launched Glymphatics, which is brain lymphatic drainage, because with one third of your lymph nodes from your neck to the top of your head, your brain only drains at night while you're sleeping. So if you have a crazy schedule, you travel a lot, or you're just a poor sleeper, you're really limiting how much lymphatic fluid can drain, or the window of time it can drain. Dr. Amen is a psychiatrist in Los Angeles. He's done over 250,000 brain scans. Mm-hmm. And what he's found is there's people with Alzheimer's, dementia, it's plaque buildup on the brain. And that mm-hmm. plaque buildup is a direct byproduct of metabolic waste. And metabolic waste is the lymph fluid that's in our whole body. Mm-hmm. So now studies and research is suggesting that if we make sure there's so many things that our brain lymphatic treatment does, but it keeps the skin off the skull to allow for blood flow. It gets rid of inflammation. We activate all of the lymph valves, and just make sure that there's no pressure and everything in the lymphatic system's operating well and optimal. And therefore, we again, studies suggesting that we will be able to prevent a lot of the neurological diseases, Alzheimer's, dementia, and you feel really good. And we have been working with patients with Alzheimer's and dementia, and the amount of clarity we'll give them for a few days by just releasing some of that pressure and that inflammation is so exciting. We're just on the tip of the iceberg with what's possible in this longevity realm. But the exciting part, combined with the testing that I told you about, and then our treatments to keep inflammation, we want to keep inflammation out of the body. And that's by activating, having a healthy lymphatic system, because inflammation is the first cause of disease, autoimmunes, cancers, and aging. So yeah. Everything we do is lymphatic based, nervous system and circulatory system in the world of preventative medicine to keep you healthy so you don't get these things.
Oh, so incredible. Okay, so where can people, where can people go to actually receive these amazing treatments?
So we're in Yorkville, Toronto, yeah. 110 Scollard. Mm-hmm. And we are in Los Angeles, in mm-hmm. West Hollywood, in Sunset Plaza, 8608 Sunset Plaza, which is, I'm sure everyone's familiar with Selling Sunset, the Open Hub Group. We're yeah. right in that plaza. Amazing. So that's really fun. And we will be opening Coconut Grove, Miami next.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. Congratulations, Amanda.
Thank you.
Wait, I've stayed in Coconut Grove before. I know exactly where that is. It's such a nice area.
Love it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Okay. So we're going to include all the links to follow you on Instagram and, you know, check out your website and services and locations in the show notes. And I wanted to end with one question that I ask all the guests on this podcast, which is, what do you think it means to be all you are?
It's a great question. I thought, for me personally, mm-hmm. I really think it's important, the contribution piece, to share mm-hmm. with people, to be there with people, whether it's helping through my treatments or whether, you know, it's someone who's gone through something like I shared in childhood and mm-hmm. needs a friend to talk to, or inspiring and hopefully helping other women get past that piece and move on and feel happy. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's what it means. And I just want to share this journey now and help people give back.
Yeah.
That's the greatest reward. And the ultimate greatest reward is when someone asks you to help them, because that means they're seeing what you're doing. And like, there's no better feeling than someone asking you
yes.
for advice or for help.
Yes. And I think I love that you ended that question that way, is because I think it's like encouraging everyone, ask for help, like ask for support, ask for guidance, ask for tips, like whatever it is, like, we need each other, right? We mm-hmm. we can't do this alone. We're not meant to do it alone. Mm-hmm. And all the things that can feel so big and scary, they are big, and some of them are big and scary, mm-hmm. right? But feel so much less so when we are not going through it alone, when we, you know.
Totally. We're not meant to.
Exactly. That's so beautiful, Amanda. I have loved this conversation so much. I'm so glad to have met you, and for hosting our community in your beautiful place, in your beautiful clubhouse. Like, the feedback from that event was like, everyone had such an amazing time. They felt so empowered, but also educated and inspired by your story too. The Gua Sha workshop and all of it, like, it was just such a beautiful experience, and your vibe is what really brought the energy to it and to this Aww. Conversation. So thank you, Amanda.
And thank you. And thank you for trusting us to bring in your group, because it's actually inspired us. I think a missing piece, you said it right at the beginning, it's that world of collaboration and doing things together. Mm-hmm. The people on the bottom are in competition. The people on top are collaborating.
I love that.
We're doing a collab with a mattress company. Like, it's great. You can collab with anybody. But mm-hmm. what we want to do, and it, completely inspired by how amazing the event was and your attendees were, is do a lot more of that. Mm-hmm. And just really fun ones. The collab, when I was in New York this past weekend with Met Gala, I work closely with Aloe. We have a brand partnership with them and they do amazing events, but it's bringing the community together. So I would love to see us work again. And I want to get a van. I want to go take our group to the park and do yoga and master classes and speakers and lots of fun things.
Yeah, so much more to come. And like, you know, if somebody's listening to this and they have an idea for collaboration or partnership with Amanda, you know how to reach her. So
1,000%.
Amazing. Okay. Well, thank you so much, Amanda.
So much.
Thank you for tuning in to today's show. I hope you found inspiration and use this podcast to start stepping into all you are. You can find information that was shared in today's show just below in the show notes. If you love this conversation, please share it with others so they can benefit from it too. You can take a screenshot of this episode and tag me on Instagram or share a link via text or email to a friend. Let's be clear, we need more women stepping into all they are. So go ahead and share away. And of course, subscribe to the podcast so that you receive the latest episodes every week and take a quick moment to rate it and leave a review. Thank you so much. Until next time, remember to keep exploring what it means to be all you are.